Hey, how's it going? I'm Andy Jones, and this is episode 152 of the Photography Side Hustle Podcast. This week, I have another guest after my first interview with Suzanne Harkin last week. If you haven't listened to Suzanne's episode yet, you should. In 1 year, she went from buying her first DSLR to being a full-time photographer. It's well worth a listen. At the moment, I'm getting ready to shoot a total eclipse on the 8th of April, which actually is tomorrow. We live a few kilometres north of Lake Ontario, and we'll get to see the full eclipse. Hopefully, I won't screw it up. I've never shot this before. Just pointing my camera at the sun worries me a little bit, but hopefully it'll work out. I'll post them in the group if they do. Okay, this week's guest is Jack Beasley. He's an Arizona sports photographer who has a YouTube channel where he teaches all aspects of professional sports photography. If you're thinking of shooting sports, I strongly recommend you give this guy a listen. He's got a lot of good things to say, not only in this podcast interview, but also loads of videos over on his YouTube channel. His YouTube channel has close to 1 million views. It's not quite there yet. So anyone who's listening to this podcast is interested in sports photography, get over there and watch all his videos, because the more people view his videos, he'll hit the million mark. And that is something special. Now, this recording was actually my second attempt after I messed up the first one. So a big thank you to Jack for being so patient with me. He's a good guy. Oh, and before we do get started, I just want to mention that the recording on my end was very subpar. I somehow turned my microphone off and was recording on the laptop microphone, which is not very good. That's why I sound like I'm down the corridor. Anyway, let's get on with it.
Okay, Jack, welcome to the podcast. Good to see you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be here.
Good, well, great. So how did you get into photography originally?
Well, I actually started in high school. My dad got me into it. I got my first camera, and I learned how to go into the dark room. I was in a photography class and learned black and white photography and a little bit of color photography back in the day. Again, we were doing it all with chemicals back then. This is the late 80s, or excuse me, early 80s. And then in college, I continued it. I was a journalism student, and I ended up working for the school newspaper, and which gave me a lot of opportunities to photograph Division I level college sports, just at any sport you can imagine. And the really cool thing was the Arizona Cardinals were brand new to Arizona at the time, you know, an NFL pro team, and they played in the same stadium as the college football team. So I would go to shoot a college game on a Saturday night, and then come back the very next day and be able to shoot an NFL pro game in the very same stadium the very next day, which is pretty great for a 22-year-old learning how to do, you know, photography and sports photography.
What's it like shooting the big guys?
It's pretty incredible. You know, college athletes, football players are very large, and professional players are even bigger. And it's just a whole other level of excitement when you're on a playing field with teams that you've grown up watching. So it's very exciting. It's very cool for sure.
So you got into the college stuff shooting that.
Yeah. And then after college, I continued on with a series of jobs working for different newspapers, either as a full-time photographer or as a stringer. Ended up back here in Phoenix. And but I found myself in a situation where it wasn't paying very good. And sports photography or photography in general is very expensive. So I ended up going to the Army for 20 years, and I didn't touch a camera for that, almost that entire time. And around 2016, I retired from the Army after all those years, and I had all this gear sitting in my closet, and I felt like some need to be creative in some way, shape, or form. So I pulled it all out, and to my chagrin, I found out that the world had moved on from my days in the early 90s of photography. Everything was digital now. Nobody cared about film, especially for sports. And so I had to learn, I had to buy new gear. Fortunately, my camera lenses still functioned on the newer camera bodies, which was great, but the camera bodies all had to be replaced with digital. And then I had learned digital editing, which is a whole different genre or skill set than being in a dark room with the chemicals for hours at a time. So, yeah.
Okay, next one. Why did you start your YouTube channel?
So after I had been back into photography and I had got to a certain level where I felt some confidence in my abilities, I was in a lot of these photography forums, which I know you're aware of, and I would sports photography forums, and people tended to ask the same questions over and over again. And I would, jump in there and answer questions, try to be helpful. But again, so many of the similar questions, I said, well, heck, I'm just going to do videos and post those so I don't have to type all this stuff out every time. So I did it, and it was kind of fun. And I would do one after the other. And then I realized, well, if I get to a certain point, I can actually make a little money at this. So I just continued on with it, and it just kind of grew over time. It's been an interesting experience. I've learned a lot. I've had to learn video too at the same time, which I didn't know anything about when I started.
Yeah.
So that's actually helped move me into adding video to my sports photography. Now I do sports video too. And that kind of opened up a world of possibilities for making money in sports photography.
And your YouTube channel, look, I noticed that it's close to 1 million views.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I never expected that. I never expected it. Still blows me away that some of my videos, some of the older ones actually, have over 100,000 views. And that's just mind boggling that many people would watch a video that I produced, and I'm small channel. I'm small potatoes compared to some people.
So how long have you been shooting sports, and do you shoot anything else, or have you considered shooting anything else?
I think if you added it all up, it would probably be around 14 years, pulling the whole 20 years in the Army out of there. But I think sports was a good way to get into it as a side hustle, because there's always kids playing somewhere, whether it's rec leagues or clubs or high school or even college levels. There's somebody's out playing a sport. And I like sports. I like to watch them. I used to play them when I was much younger. So I enjoy it. When I got back into photography after my Army retirement, I initially went back into weddings. I had done those previously, but weddings are very stressful. There's a lot to it. There's money in it for sure. Probably much better than sports photography, but the stress level is so intense. And I think with sports photography, you get there, you can actually enjoy the game and you see what's going on and predict what's going to happen and be there at the right place. And there's some satisfaction to it. And you don't have all the pressure of an unhappy bride or an unhappy bride's mother or anything like that involved. So
you lose a few files. It's not the end of the world, but you do right. that on a wedding.
Right.
It is the end of the
yes.
world.
Yes, it is. It's very stressful in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you shoot Nikon, right?
Yeah. So it's funny. When I was learning in high school, it was a Pentax K1000.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I think I still have the original camera I had on a shelf somewhere. But at the time when I was going into journalism in the late 80s, everything was Nikon. Canon was far behind and Sony didn't even exist at that time. So everybody was shooting Nikon. So that's what I did. In fact, newsrooms at the time, you could go in and borrow, even as a stringer, you could go in and borrow their equipment. It was just racks of Nikon lenses. Not true anymore. But coming back from a long Army career, I still had all my Nikon gear. I had no real reason to switch. I didn't see myself selling all my stuff. And like I say, most of my gear still worked on the newer bodies. The lenses anyway. So yeah, I got back into sports photography using a 25-year-old 300 2.8 on my newer Nikon camera, and it still worked fine. So I just stuck with it. My philosophy with the camera manufacturers are, there's the big three, Nikon, Canon, and Sony. Canon and Nikon have such a long history that you can easily find used gear all over the place, and I've always been an advocate of buy used, good used when you can, as opposed to brand new off the shelf.
I agree with you on that, even though I just bought a new camera a year ago. So how do you market your business?
So My customers are primarily high school students and their parents, and to a certain extent, clubs and booster clubs. So booster clubs are parents. So I go to where they are. Most of those have Facebook groups. That's what parents tend to look at. But parents and students tend to look at Instagram. So that's where I tend to put most of my stuff.
Yeah.
You know, with the YouTube channel, I also have customers who are photographers. So I get a lot of photographers who follow me on Instagram, not so much on Facebook. I don't have a huge following, but it's mostly teams, players, and other photographers. Some of the other socials don't really have worked for me, or I'm afraid to dig into it. I'm not quite into Reels or TikTok or that business. I've been reluctant to dive into that. Maybe I should do it a little bit more, but I've been a little reluctant to dive too deeply into that.
There's only so much time, eh?
Yes. And I do some Twitter because I find that some groups and some players are on Twitter/X. So I'll put stuff on there too. But most of my responses come off of Instagram. So the other way I market myself is in personal interactions. So I don't run ads so much, but I will find out, for example, I found out when the local high school football booster club meeting was. So I went in and had a conversation with them. I sat through their whole meeting. I figured out who was the club president and who was the club, you know, the secretary. And I just had a conversation with them. Hey, this is me. I do this. And the fact that I also photograph now for Max Preps, it helps me out quite a bit. Max Preps is a, here in the United States, is a national organization website, covers high school sports. In my area, at least, it is very well known. And parents and players know who Max Preps is as far as photography. So it's well recognized. So when I can go in there and say, I'm a Max Preps photographer, here's my portfolio. You could look at all my galleries. Here's my Instagram. You can see everything I've posted there. That helps out quite a bit. But I would say personal interaction helps out significantly. The other way I market myself is I have a website. So that's got all different genres and options that people can look at.
What's the address of your website?
JackBeasley.com, JackBeasley.com. So I'll send people there, and it's got, you know, it shows all of my various galleries and examples of my work, both for photo and video.
Yeah.
So that's the other way I market myself.
Yeah. The first time I saw your work, I was blown away by it. It's very professional. Love it.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Oh, the big question here, RAW or JPEG?
RAW or JPEG. So that, you know, as you know, this gets a lot of debate, and it gets a lot of debate in sports. And the reason being is, so it depends on who you talk to. So if you are, you know, a professional media photographer who's on a tight deadline, yeah, those folks usually want to shoot JPEG because they just need to crank it out as quickly as possible. They're not as concerned about, you know, grainy or noisy images. They just need to get it out and upload it as quickly as possible. So for them, JPEG makes a lot of sense. In my case, 90% of what I do is not that. I do have one client like that. It's a 5K, 10Ks, 2,000 runners. Yes, I'm just cranking out photos as quickly as possible. But for most of my clients, the people I do work for, I shoot RAW. And the reason being is because I've just had more control over it. If I, you know, mess up, you know, a little underexposed, a little overexposed, it's easily corrected. I've got presets built for just about any lighting condition, day, night, indoors. So if, depending on what it is, I just set that preset and go with it.
Yeah.
So it just gives you a lot of options. Plus, some of the clients I work with, especially Max Preps, are very concerned about noise. And so I'm always looking for the best noise reduction. And these days, the products that are out there, DxO RAW 4, I like that. I've tried it out recently. The new denoise functions that are in Lightroom and Photoshop are very good, much better than what they used to have. And those only work with RAW files. So
yeah.
JPEG, you're stuck with in-camera noise reduction. And to me, it's just not nearly as good. it used to be good enough, but it's just not nearly as good as the new noise reduction software that's out there these days.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's why I go with RAW.
Totally agree with you. When I used to shoot sports, it was for printing on site. So we just shot in JPEG because we just didn't have time to do the full process. We just corrected them best we could and then work on the one that they wanted to print. So
yeah, I mean, if you're in a hurry, I totally get the JPEG. And if it's something where, you know, the utmost level of quality is not required, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But if you have the time, I definitely say RAW.
All right. If you could start your business again today, what would you do differently?
So I think when I came back into it, I was treating it more as an expensive hobby instead of a business. You know, I had a day job and it's still a sideline for me. I still have a regular day job. Maybe eventually when I retire from my current position, I'll make it a full-time job. But I think my biggest problem was I didn't treat it like a real business. I still treated it like a hobby. And as a result, I didn't always look for, you know, what was the best deal? What was the best way to make money? How do I network myself? How do I run my finances better? How do I set up, you know, bank accounts? I didn't look at all that. I just ran everything as a personal expense. But if I had just treated it as a business much earlier, I think I would probably be farther along and my business would be producing more. You know, there's this young man I know. He's a local guy. He's in his mid-20s and he blows me away. I've done some work with him in the past and he gets so much business and he does it because he networks the hell out of things. He is constantly on the socials, talking to various coaches, making comments to various groups. He has his own little annual award ceremony for local athletes. And this guy's only in his like mid-20s and
wow.
He does video. He does photo. He's got enough work where he actually brings in people to cover games that he can't cover. So I my hat's off to the young man. And I actually started doing some work with him. I just wanted to see what he was doing as far as a business. Plus it was helping me grow into the video side. So I think marketing yourself, getting out there, talking to the people is just definitely the way to go to build your business, because a lot of it is just, do they trust you or not? And if you send them a cold email, they may blow you off because they don't know who you are. But if you actually show up at their, you know, their booster club meeting and talk to them personally, show them a little bit of love and point them in, you know, direction of some of your work and show that you're capable of doing it, I think you're much better along than, you know, trying to send out cold emails, which I've done in the past and didn't get much response from.
And which sport that you shoot is the most lucrative?
So for me, the sport that is most lucrative is American football. The fall is the way I'm absolute the busiest. And that's true of my YouTube channel too. Because what I find is I start to pick up business right as the school starts, because what's happening is, here in the US, they've got 7-on-7 tournaments going on, which then leads into early preseason games. And we're talking the high school level here, then into the high school games. And most high schools have freshmen, JV, varsity. So all levels. And they also started for girls, they started doing flag football here in Arizona. So that, if you want to call that football, which I guess I should, that triples the amount of football that's available in my area. And all those are possibles, you know, to sell photos for, or get booster clubs involved in doing it. So the other thing that I like about American football is, you know, there's 40 kids on each sideline, you know, I mean, try that with tennis, you know, yeah, it's just not there. So
2 hours of this, two people.
Right. I mean, even when we go into soccer or the world's version of football, there's maybe 12 kids on a sideline, 13. So it's a quarter to maybe half of what's on an American football sideline. So it's definitely the most lucrative. And I pick up a lot more photo and video assignments and jobs during the fall than any other time of the year. And my viewership on YouTube is the greatest in the fall too, for the very same reason. It seems to be the time of year it is most excited when it comes to sports. And then the winter sports, basketball, not as popular, you know, and again, there's only so many kids on this, on the court for basketball. And then it kind of trails off after that. Baseball's okay for me in the spring, but definitely the fall is the big time of the year for me. And so that's the big push.
I think we're done with the questioning. I want to thank you for coming on, Jack. And I'll put a link to your YouTube channel in the show notes and over on my website as well. And I'll promote the heck out of you. You do some really nice work.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed that. Jack's YouTube channel is an excellent resource for any budding sports photographers out there. I'll put all of Jack's links in the show notes and over at photographysidehustle.com/152. While you're there, you can support the show and buy me a coffee. And if you need help with anything, you can contact me in the Facebook group and through Facebook Messenger. I'm now going to go outside and try and take some photos of the sun without blinding myself or destroying my camera. I'll be back next week. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.